Okay, so let's start. Let's start with the questions, yeah?
Anyone with questions can raise your hand.
Good evening, Ajahn. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello. Mm. Yeah, so I was wanting to ask a question about when you think that your practice is getting good at handling certain situations, certain social situations, but then after some time, same social situation might be handled completely differently. Like you thought that you overcame this difficulty, or you know, you could handle it better, but now out of all of a sudden, you see that your practice is collapsing, or you just couldn't handle that, and it feels like it's retracting back. Your practice is retracting back. So that happened with me with some situations. I was wondering why it happens, although I quickly recovered from it, like 3 days, but still it feels bad that you thought you were going somewhere and then suddenly same things arise again and again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so easy, you know, things come and things go, you know, I mean, it's like a wave, you know, sometimes we think we are able to deal with it better because we have more sati, and the next time, you know, we have less sati, and then, you know, things are not going as smooth as we expected. The problem is because we have not rooted out the cause of it, yeah? I mean, you say it's social interaction, yeah? I mean, what came before, you know? I mean, what came before the interaction, yeah? I mean, did you expect something, you know, were there some expectation, you know? Or did you had a plan to do, you know, all these things, yeah? I mean, if you try, you know, in any kind of interaction, yeah, to be just mindful of your breathing in and breathing out, yeah? And not plan, you know, what to say or what to do, then you might be, you know, you might be free of it. But maybe there's some anger, there's some other issues, yeah? You have to look at it, yeah? You have to uproot it, you know? You have to root it out, yeah? The cause, you know, I mean, for your interaction, yeah? The
yeah, the idea, as long as I'm mindful of my breath and, you know, I stay with it as long as I can for the whole day, then it doesn't get me any problem. But when I, you know, due to certain thought patterns, I start thinking certain things, I start thinking certain desires, and then I start believing these desires, and I feel like my mindfulness is not worth it, or it's not giving me the kind of prize I want, or you know, then I start losing trust in my mindfulness, and then I will slowly start letting go of it, and then it all happens spiraling downwards, all these negative things, and then I just can't handle the situation. That something happens. That's what I see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, forgive yourself. You know, I mean, things. You know, I mean, like we said, say in the West, you know, Rome wasn't built in one day. Yeah, our practice will not. You know. Will not progress, you know, in just a few years, yeah? I mean, it slowly progresses, you know, you see sometimes you can deal with the situation and other times you're taken aback, yeah? So forgive yourself and and ask yourself, you know, I mean, why wasn't I able, you know, to be mindful, you know, or sati, yeah? Sati, yeah? Sati is not the only solution, yeah? Sati is a good thing, you know, to have sati in these occasions is very good, you know, because, I mean, then we can control more or less, you know, what is going on. But what gives, you know, what gives rise to the desire, yeah, that you feel and that, yeah, that you think it's spiraling down. I mean, there must be some dissatisfaction or some anger or some, you know, whatever it is, yeah. You have to root that out, yeah. And desire, yeah, desire and hatred are only rooted out, you know, at the end of our body investigation. So, yeah, now be patient, yeah. work on your body investigation, you know, especially desire, yeah. Desire and, you know, and hate, you know, all connected to the body, yeah. We want something for the body or for the senses and things like that, and we don't get it, so we become disillusioned or we become hateful, yeah, or we dislike comes up, or we want something, you know, we can't get, you know, and the greed comes up, yeah. So, do more investigation. The more you do investigation of the body, the more you look into these things, yeah. What brings up the desire, yeah? Sometimes, you know, we are just frustrated, you know. I mean, frustration, you know, I mean, it's a very good thing, you know, to bring up desire, yeah. We are frustrated with the way things are, yeah. So we can work on that, you know, to be able to accept the way things are, yeah, and then there's no desire coming up. But if we are frustrated, you know, something doesn't work out the way we want to work out, I mean, then desire comes up, or hate comes up, yeah. So work on these, yeah. But of course, you know, sati is you know, is giving us for the moment the key, yeah. But it's not the solution. The solution is investigation. Okay?
Okay. But I do body investigations in my mind or not. Like, for example, when certain desires come and all that.
Mm.
But there comes a point when it doesn't want to...
Yeah, I know.
...do any investigation. Or just... like, I have practiced a lot seeing these images in my mind, but then it suddenly doesn't want to see it as ugly, the body is ugly. It just thinks that body is beautiful and, you know, all the kind of fantasies along with it. So, I feel like it's something that related to, I don't know, fear of missing out on.
It's normal. It's completely normal. So, what you then do, you know, I mean, if you have a little bit of sati, then go into the desire, yeah? Let it play out, but be very mindful of what is happening in your heart, yeah? And at the end, you know, once you fulfilled your desire, you know, ask yourself, yeah? I mean, was it worthwhile? See the whole process of it, yeah? Yeah? I mean,
so play
the
fantasy in the mind.
These things will happen, and it will happen for a long time, yeah? So, I mean, don't give up, you know. Yes, sometimes, you know, sometimes the kilesas are too strong and they will block our super images, you know, and yeah, then we just do the other thing, you know, then we investigate, you know, the so-called pleasure. Is it really pleasure when we give in to the desire? Or, you know, we investigate the desire itself, you know. I mean, we look at the desire, look at the burning desire in our heart, you know, and ask ourselves, why am I doing this to myself, yeah? Or we give in, you know, and see, yeah, okay, the desire is gone now, but, yeah, I mean, a sort of emptiness arises, yeah? We're not really satisfied with the results of it, okay?
Yes, but... sometimes the desire is very subtle, like it takes very subtle form, not in just terms of bodily flesh and all that, but more like interaction with the person.
Yeah.
That person being hurt by another person, that kind of desires.
Yeah,
they're
very
subtle and it all feels very reasonable to have these desires. How can you question them? It feels like very basic and innate desire.
Yeah, I mean, the reason comes from the kilesas, yeah? It's not coming from... The Dhamma doesn't find reasons, you know, for doing something, yeah? So the reasons are coming from the kilesas. So you investigate. I mean, you think it's rational, yeah? I mean, what is rational, yeah? I mean, look at the things that are happening. Investigate the whole situation, yeah? I mean, I cannot tell you what is happening. Investigate the whole situation. And then ask yourself, what is so rational about it? You have to do the investigation to find out what is actually behind that, yeah? What came before the desire, yeah? I mean, we are constantly fooled by the kilesas. The kilesas tell us, you know, this is correct, this is, you know, this is proper, you know, and there's no problem with this, yeah? And it's logical, yeah? I mean, the kilesas are the most illogical things, yeah? I mean, they tell us everything, yeah? Just like our government, you know, it tells us lies, you know? This we have to do because of this and this, you know? And we say, maybe it sounds, you know? But it's all lies. It's all based on lies, yeah? And the kilesas use the same thing. So investigate. Yeah?
Can you give like an example of for how do I investigate these subtle forms of lust?
Yeah, I mean, the moment you see it, the moment you see it, you stop it, you know, you stop it with Buddha or attention on the breath, and then go back. What came before it? Yeah? What kind, you know, what kind of thought, what kind of memories came up, yeah? Or then you investigate, you know, the logical solution that the, or, you know, the appropriate solution that the Kilesas give you, yeah? I mean, yes, I mean, I need to talk to this person because of this or that, yeah? Is it really necessary to talk to this person? Yeah? And like I said, you know, sometimes we have to go through the process and then afterwards evaluate it. Was it really that necessary? Yeah? Because then you can find, you know, the tricks of the Kilesas, yeah? Sometimes we have to go through the whole process, yeah? With as much, you know, attention or with as much sati as possible, and then afterwards evaluate. Is my heart satisfied with this? Was it a good solution? Maybe it was a good solution, yeah? But most of the time it is not a good solution, yeah? We feel somehow uneasy about it, yeah? And that's probably what you felt, yeah? So look at it, you know, go through it, you know, with as much sati as you can, you know, and then afterwards, you know, ask the question, was it really necessary? Was it really appropriate? Was it, you know, was it satisfactory? And so on, whatever, yeah?
Okay. And also sometimes the Kaleshas in my mind also tell me to, you know, challenge myself, put myself out there and, you know,
what?
Just
what?
Really
repeat this again.
If I feel my heart's beating,
yeah,
in some situation, then I feel like I should go out there and really challenge myself. And so I don't know if I should follow it, what the heart says. Or at that point, should not. It feels like I should follow it, but
If the heart is beating up, then you know, I mean, then it is most probably not, yeah, not correct. Yeah, you don't have to go out, you know, or you don't have to say it, yeah, if the heart is beating up very strong. But also for this, investigate it. One time you do it, one time you don't do it. And then compare the results of it. What is more satisfactory? To actually go out and do and say something or do something, yeah, or just to relax, you know, and stay with the Buddha. I cannot give you a general solution. I can only show you, you know, how to evaluate these things, yeah? How to compare them.
Yeah, it mostly feels better when I'm grounded myself in my mindfulness, in my brain.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I just felt like I'm not doing anything.
That is okay.
I'm restraining myself if I'm not.
Yeah. No, that is completely okay. Because, I mean, we are born to do something, you know. We want to act or we want to react. And most of the time we don't need to react, yeah? And if it is more comfortable not to react, you know, I mean, perfect, yeah? Then you know, yeah? I mean, I always was very suspicious the moment my heart beat up very strongly, and I said, there's something wrong because it doesn't feel good, yeah? But
yeah.
Try it out, yeah? Okay?
Oh, okay, thank you, Darusel.
Inashu. Hi, Ajahn.
Yeah.
I'm calling from Florida, United States. I think last time I spoke to you, it was almost a year ago, and you gave me many good recommendations. My practice has been progressing very slowly, but I think in the right direction. One of the recommendations you gave me before, which I have not been able to do very well, is to have interest. I do mostly breathing meditation. Is to have interest, develop the interest in the meditation itself. So I've tried, but doesn't appear to be very successful. I don't know if you can give me a couple of words of advice in that regard.
Okay, let me first ask you, can you come to a state in your meditation where thoughts and memories cease to exist?
Yes, but only for about maybe sometimes between 3 and 5 minutes, no longer than that.
Okay, yeah. Now, so the interest, what are you doing? Do you do the breath meditation or Buddha?
I do the breath meditation mostly when I'm sitting down. I do Budo when I'm a little bit more active.
Yeah. Okay.
Mostly breath.
Right. Do you also do some walking meditation?
I also do walking meditation. Yes. Yeah. But not as often.
Okay. For the breath. Yeah. Be interested when the in breath starts. Be interested, you know, when the in-breath is at its height, yeah? And then when it slowly decays, be interested in every second, you know, of the in-breath, yeah? And then be mostly interested, when is the point that the in-breath switches to the out-breath, or when the out-breath switches to the in-breath? There's a point where it switches. I mean, if you put, you know, I want to catch that point, that you won't be very likely to catch, but the interest to catch this point, yeah? I mean, we'll keep your sati very, very strong, yeah? Can I do that, yeah?
Yes,
it's the same thing.
I tried that, yeah. I think where I get some of the distraction is on in between the two points.
Yeah, in between the two points. Eh? Then just see, is the in-breath long or is it short, you know? Is it strong or is it very subtle, yeah? Between these two points, yeah? Just see, you know, I mean, is it going up, you know, or is it decreasing? And the same with the out-breath. Is it increasing, you know, or is it, you know, decreasing, yeah? Find as many points as you can, you know, as you can find, you know, or can be interested, yeah. But you're more interested in what is going on around, yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's a tendency of our mind to be more interested about the results of our meditation, and that distracts us, yeah. Do I get some calm? Are there still some more thoughts coming? Yeah. Forget about that. Expectation is that what ruins our meditation. Okay?
Thank you, Ajahn.
Anyone else have questions to us? You can unmute yourself and ask. If not, you can type the question in the chat. I can read out the question for you. For your fun.
Opo, I got one question. So
only one.
I'm gonna check. Yeah, only one today.
Okay.
I wanted to check. I always have a conception that when you practice meditation, you get calm. But I realized that as I practice, I learn to identify more of like the anger and the emotions, and I try to like look back at the source. So is it normal, or actually you will go directly to, like, is calm the end state as you practice, or actually this is how your path will be?
What exactly is the question?
So the question is, as you practice meditation, will you actually reach a calm stage eventually, or in between, before you reach the very calm state that you're supposed to have, you will actually have to face with challenges like learning how to identify your own feelings and then look at the source of these feelings.
No.
Because I realize, no.
No, no.
Okay.
I mean, if you do samatha, and that's when we talk about, if you do samatha, you don't go onto the feelings, you don't go on the thoughts, you see there's a thought and return back to the breath or return back to the Buddha. You're not going to investigate this, otherwise you will never get calm.
Okay, so what I realize is that in my daily life now, right, because I'm doing reflection and like I kind of get more aware of the feelings that I have.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether I'm at the right track because theoretically people will like calm down, but then I seem to be like more emotional. I have more anger, more greed, stuff like that. So is it because I start to see them now better?
Yes.
Like, I observe them better.
Yes. That of course, yeah. I mean, the more we get calmer, the more we clearly see what is going on in our heart, yeah? But I was talking only about when we do samatha, when we sit down for calm meditation, we are not interested in anything than the breath or the Buddha, yeah? Except when the painful feelings become so strong that we cannot concentrate on the breath or on the Buddha. But, yeah, I mean, the more you practice samatha, I mean, the more you see the greed and the hate come up. That's good. And then, you know, outside of the samatha practice, you can investigate that. Where's the hate coming from? Or where's the greed coming from? What came before the hate, yeah? What kind of image or what kind of memory or what kind of thought came up, yeah? Yeah? Clear?
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I have a question. But I noticed that the more I practice nowadays, I find I expect to have more confidence and more faith, but doubt creeps in, and sometimes I wonder whether what I'm experiencing or noticing or feeling, is it all an illusion? So I feel like my faith is wavering. You know, at some point, I think I believe that I'm on the right track, I'm doing the right thing, and my life as a Buddhist is on the right path. And then sometimes the thought just comes in, and it asks me to question whether is this really real? I mean, is the Buddha real? You know, maybe this is all just very well made up, and despite the fact that having been to India and seeing all these places. So those kind of doubts come into my head, and I don't like it. I suppose I assume that when I'm on this path, my faith will continue to go stronger and stronger. But then this doubt comes in and plays in my mind. Is it normal?
It is quite normal, yeah. What you do is, you know, I mean, you just say doubt, there's doubt, you know, and then you go back to the breath or you go back to the Buddha. You don't, the moment, you know, you give a value to a thought, you know, this thought becomes more and more real, yeah? I mean, don't you have, you know, you have results in your practice, yeah? I mean, you get calm, yeah? And when there's calm, yeah? When there's no thoughts and no memories coming up, you feel satisfied. I mean, where's the doubt about your results? See? And that is what we, sometimes we have to tell ourselves, yeah? I mean, what I'm doing, you know, that is the path of the Lord Buddha, yeah? That the Lord Buddha described. And he described when we stay with the breath or when we stay with the Buddha, we become calm, yeah? And when we become calm, you know, we are satisfied or happy, you know, or contented, yeah? We don't want anything, yeah? So I'm on the right track, yeah? I mean, of course the Kilesas want to throw us doubt. I mean, is that all real? I mean, we don't know if it is real or not real, you know, but we are not bothered by it. What is real is, you know, I mean, huh? Am I calm? You know, do I feel, you know, do I feel satisfaction? Do I feel contentment? That is real. You feel it? Yeah. No?
It's just that it disturbs me.
No? Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I guess I go on the basis that the more...
Yeah, the more you give...
The more faith I would have, and there's less...
Yeah, yeah, the more you give in, yeah?
Less like it.
Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, just say there's doubt and go back, yeah? Sometimes, you know, I mean... I had to touch my body and said, okay, yeah, that looks real, you know, I mean, that is real, you know, the feeling that I have, you know, seems to be real, you know, that's okay, yeah. The doubt comes in, you know, I mean, but don't give any value to it, yeah. So the more you say, you can say, I don't believe you, I don't trust you. You can tell that to the doubt, I don't trust you. Yeah? Where are you coming from? I don't trust you. The more you put it aside, the less the doubt is coming. And the more you bring it, the more you believe the doubt, yeah, the more the doubt is coming. Understand that?
Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I noticed that. Yes.
Yeah. Just go back to your practice, yeah.
Anyone else with questions? Me?
Yes. Longpo? I think I want to come and practice at your monastery. May I request to come and practice for some years? Is it possible?
For what?
Because, may I request to come and practice at your monastery for some years? Because I'm currently doing PhD, but, you know, I wanted to give up my studies.
Yeah, the same as me. I was doing my PhD and then I said, forget about it.
Right,
yeah, just come to the monastery, yeah, and then see, you know. I mean, if you like it, you can stay on. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you don't cause any problems, I mean, some people, yeah, I mean, Sao Ling, how long are you here? 4, 5, 6 years or what?
Nearly 5 years.
Oh, she's already here 5 years, though. Yeah. If people don't create any troubles, they can stay. Okay? You're still in check?
Yeah, but my problem is that, yeah, I'm in Prague right now. The thing is that last Saturday, I tried for more than 10 hours meditation, but I got depressed, sad, and, you know, but I try and try again. So that's the thing that's, you know, like I'm emotional, but, yeah, I don't know.
Well, whatever, you know. I mean, tell yourself, you know, the moment... If I'm with the Buddha or if I'm with the breath, I'm going along the right path, yeah? If I go into my thoughts, if I go into, you know, feelings or things like, I'm not on the right path. When I do investigation, if I'm with the object of investigation, I'm on the right path. If I'm not with the object of investigation, then I'm on the wrong path. Very simple. But we never do that,
yeah,
actually. Okay, so, yeah, you can come.
Yeah, yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. I'll make that decision. Yeah.
I don't know if I read out some of the questions.
Okay.
Online, yeah. Okay, first question. I bounce back and forth between cosmic optimism of seeing the world as innately good and evil as illusory, as taught specifically in the doctrine of Nepatanism or other theistic traditions like Hindu sects. Intellectually and also experientially, there is a joy of being and wonder at it. But I keep coming back to the Buddhist practice when seeing and experiencing dukkha.
Mm.
Will enough meditation help me break through this deadlock of experience and decidedly see the truth as it is?
Yeah, I mean, if you practice enough meditation and if you see that what the Lord Buddha teaches, you know, leads to the result that the Lord Buddha gives us, you know, I mean, the more faith we have in him, yeah? You don't have to, you know, you don't have to give up all the other things, you know. I mean, they will slowly, you know, slowly, when the more you do the practice, slowly the other things don't make any sense anymore. If we tend to decide to break off something with our thought, you know, I mean, or with our decision, you know, I mean, this always will linger in the back of our head, yeah? But if you don't show any interest in other religions, and if you stick, with the teaching of the Lord Buddha, the more our faith becomes in the teaching of the Lord Buddha. Because, whatever he says, whatever he teaches, if he teaches about samatha, we can experience the results within ourselves. Yeah? What did the Lord Buddha say? Open your eyes and see for yourself. Yeah? But he didn't say, with our outer eyes. He said it with our inner eyes. We can see the calmness, we can see the happiness, we see the content, that comes with the samatha practice. Or we see the result that our hate or our greed becomes less when we do the asupa practice. Yeah. So, what do we need more? Okay. Next question.
Next. There are two questions on ants and the toilet. He's paranoid. Ants may be sinking in the toilet. And he's interrupting to check and rescue continuously. Is it in the Kuti's toilet?
Yeah.
Is that restlessness distraction?
What is exactly the question?
And if the toilet?
Yeah. The ant in the toilet? Yes. Yeah?
Is checking the toilet.
Who is checking the toilet? I don't really.
The person.
Huh? Yeah, what you're going to do? The best thing, if you see the ant swimming in the toilet water, take some more water, and gush them out so that they come, out, in the open, and they can walk again. They don't drown instantly, Sometimes they can even walk on the water, But this is a distraction, yeah? People who normally look for these little things, there's an ant, yeah? Like some of the Tibetan Buddhists say, I don't want to harm this ant, so I will take my way around them and around them and around them. And then they come back to the monastery and rape a nun. This is okay for them, but, to step on an ant, that is not okay. So take heed of the more important things, and put less emphasis on the small things. Yeah? I tested that out. They don't die. If you wash them away with a swoop of water, and then you see them after a minute, they crawl again. Yeah, they're used to this heavy rain. Yeah. They're swept away, and they don't die, they get out to the land, and then whatever, yeah. Don't look on the small things, look on the big, yeah. The big things, the lies that we tell, or the misconduct that we have, or the other things, yeah. Okay, next question.
Yeah, in relation to that question, if he is worried about the unseen beings in the pipe or outside the pipe, is it allowed and better karma to poop on open ground after inspecting?
What? I don't understand the question. Please print it out. Because I don't understand the question. Yes, of course, if you have a way, to put them on the ground, yes, it's better, yeah. Or you can just sweep them with a broom, yeah. But if they're already in the water, what can you do? Just flush them down the toilet, yeah.
Next, Venerable Ajahn Martin, I heard that Ajahn Mahabhava used to say that a person who is naturally very angry can progress very quickly if he directs his anger against the kilesas.
Yes.
If this is correct, could you please explain a little more on how one can do it? I am naturally a very angry person, and I started practicing Buddhism because I was afraid of where my anger could get me. After watching your Dharma talks, I can control my anger much better, but I still have the characteristics of a hatred-inclined person. I know my anger can make me very motivated to achieve my goals, but I'm afraid of misusing it. Thank you so much for everything.
How can you misuse the anger? I don't understand that, you know. I mean, if you direct it towards the kilesas that produce the anger, yeah? I mean, anger comes from our dissatisfaction. We are dissatisfied with this, we're dissatisfied with that, yeah? I mean, the only way to overcome anger is, you know, the investigation of the body, yeah? Until we finish body investigation, there will be anger. But we direct it towards the kilesas, who brings up the anger, yeah? So, there's a dislike, you know, and anger comes up. Huh? So what we do? We investigate that what brought up the anger. Yeah. The picture that we saw, the situation that we were in. Yeah. I mean, we analyzed and said, you know, I mean, that is the way things are. Yeah. What makes me so angry? Yeah. And then I go to my views and opinions and I have about how the situation should be. Yeah. And then I correct my views and opinion about this, you know, and then there is no more anger coming up. Now he has to be more specific, yeah? Okay, next.
Next question is on insects again. Venerable Ajahn, how can we deal with insect infestations that are health threatening? With without breaking the first precept. A few months ago, I had to deal with a cockroach infestation. There were more than 100 cockroaches, so I couldn't just pick them up and put them where they would not cause trouble. Since they can contaminate the food and cause diseases, they had to be exterminated. How bad was the karma of breaking the first precept in this situation? Could I have done something different?
I mean, you can find, well, what you can do is you can find a trap, you know, that doesn't kill the cockroaches, you know, and just throw them out, you know, into the open air, yeah. I mean, if this happens only one time, you know, I wouldn't say that the karma is too heavy, yeah. But you will feel, you know, some of the karma is coming back to you, yeah. Try to deal with it, you know. I mean, we have rats, you know. I mean, rats are not very healthy as well. You know, we catch the rats, you know, and then we put them out into the nature, yeah. We leave them somewhere else, you know, where they can't come back. Yeah? And to try to do that with the cockroaches, you know. I mean, I used to have, people are so, but people are also, you know, so afraid, you know, of sickness and disease, yeah. I remember when I lived in the U.S., you know, I mean, we lived in an apartment, you know, I mean, there were not only hundreds of cockroaches, there were thousands of cockroaches, yeah. Yeah, we tried to get rid of them at that time, you know, I mean, yeah, not in a very healthy way, you know, but yeah, they're still there. I was never afraid of, you know, of the diseases. I mean, the mosquitoes can bring diseases, you know. You cannot get rid of mosquitoes, yeah. All these things, you know, I mean, depending on our karma, is what kind of disease we get, yeah. Except for the normal, you know, cold and fever, that is normal, yeah. So we have to live with it, you know. I mean, we have a body and we wanted this body, you know, and the body gets sick, you know, just like the Lord Buddha said, yeah. It gets old, it gets sick, you know, and it dies, yeah. And it depends on, you know, what kind of karma we have. That the death depends on this kind of karma that we have. Do we have a fast death or slow death, a painful death or not so painful death? Do we have this kind? Do we have cancer or do we have Alzheimer or Parkinson or whatever? It's all related to our karma, yeah. It has nothing to do, you know, yeah, with the insects, you know, yeah. Yes, of course they can spread diseases, you know, but most of it, you know, I mean, we can live with it, yeah. We get infected, you know, but we have a body, you know, that heals, you know, most of the diseases, yeah, most of these, yeah, simple things, you know, can be healed by our body. Yeah. That's why we have, you know, the, what is it called, you know, the bodily reaction that, you know, I mean, keeps track of it, or fights them, yeah. The white blood cell or whatever, I don't know, yeah. So, worry too much about these little things, you know. Huh? Why don't you worry about if you're with the Buddha or not with the Buddha, or with the breath or not with the breath? That should be your worry, yeah? Not the other things, yeah? I mean, if you're actually in this situation, if you actually, you know, I mean, look what the situation is, then you will have a solution to it, yeah? There's always a good solution to it. Next. Hello.
There's an audio question.
These are all the...
Anyone else?
Do we have any questions from the audience here? Yeah, okay.
If one is trying to develop samadhi, what is the relationship between samatha and investigation that one should have during the day? How many hours
do it? I mean, in the beginning, you want to get into samadhi as long as possible. Yeah. I mean, investigation is, yeah. I mean, you can do investigation a little bit of reflection. Yeah. About your life when you were born, you know, when you went to school, you know, when you started working and so on. And look at your life. Yeah. This kind of reflection you can do all the time. But for the serious kind of, you know, investigation, you need a lot of sati, yeah? So if you cannot stay in samadhi without thoughts or without memories for more than 15 minutes, I mean, investigation will never cut, yeah? I mean, the sharper our samadhi or sati is, yeah? I mean, the easier is to cut through the kilesas, you know, that try to blind us, yeah? So, I mean, for the time being, yeah? I mean, use most of the time, you know, 10, 12 hours, you know, just to do samadhi, yeah? And 1 hour, you know, common reflection, yeah? I mean, we are born, you know, we get older, we get sick, you know, we will die, yeah? And it's not the first life, you know, that we have gone through, you know? How many millions or trillions of lives have we already had, yeah? Not only as humans, you know, sometimes as devas, most of the time probably in hell or in the lower realms, yeah? Or as animals, oh. And then, you know, I mean, get the motivation also, you know, to practice more and more and more, yeah? How long do I want to do that, yeah? How long do I want, yeah, Carlo, how long do I want to be born and die and born and die and born and die again? Is it so much fun? Ask yourself. You don't have to give me the answer. You have to ask yourself. Yeah, it's not so bad, you know.
No, huh? Actually, it's just this life itself.
I mean, disliking life, you know, is not the answer to it, yeah? The thing, you know, the thing that gives us the motivation is, I want to make an end to it, yeah? I mean, hating the body, you know, it's not getting us rid of the body.
It's not even that I hate it. It's more like I will like, but then I know that it really ain't gonna do anything. It's like everything is just a disappointment. But the liking is still there, which is annoying.
Yeah, no, it is okay. I mean, we can like the right things. For instance, we can like to go into samadhi. Yeah, this we can like. I mean, the like, you know, or the will, you know, I mean, is the thing, you know, that perpetuates to Nibbana. Yeah? That's what we need, you know. I mean, if you say, everything is bad, you know, everything, you know, nothing is changing, you know, you just sleep up in my next life and then you have the same situation. Yeah. I mean, we have to do something, you know, to get out of the out of the shithole we are in, yeah? So we smell the shit, yeah? We think, you know, this smells nice, this smells nice, until we investigate it and see, actually, it smells really shitty, you know? And then the reaction should be, let's get out of it. Not, it's...
Yeah. It happens with the dog food. Sometimes I was like, this isn't so bad. But then I know it is.
It doesn't... I mean, don't give labels to it. Don't say bad or good, you know? Just investigate. Just... how does it feel like? You know, how does it compare to this? Yeah. How does it compare to that? Yeah?
Because if I label it, then it just stops there.
Yeah, it stops there. Yeah. And you fool yourself, yeah? You fool yourself with these labels, you know? Because, I mean, we have used labels for such a long time, you know? And we think these labels are correct, yeah? But actually, you know, when you investigate, it's not correct.
Yeah, it's much more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
Good.
Any,
hello.
Any label. Good, bad.
Yeah.
Blue, green.
Yeah.
Tasty, sticky.
Hmm? What is tasty?
Yeah, that's the thing.
You have to ask this question.
Why
mean,
do I find it tasty? Why do I find it
tasty? No, not why do you find it tasty. That's the wrong question. What is, you know, what is tasty? Huh? We never ask why. Why is always leading to thinking. We ask, what is, how does it compare to? Yeah? How does it feel like? Yeah? And how does this feeling compare to the other feeling when we investigate something else? And then we see, you know, I mean, feelings are feelings, yeah? Has nothing to do, it has all to do with our labels, yeah? That we fall for the labels that we put on. This is good or this is bad, yeah?
I was going to say this is good, but okay.
Yeah. No. Don't say it, don't think it, you know, just...
I'll just let it fall.
Yeah. Okay, so, are there Sunny? Hello.
Yes, Uncle. Yeah. Any other questions? Anne?
Yeah, still on mute. Yeah, I think nice. Is it the younger? No, that is already old.
This one is already old. The other one.
How old? 1 or 2 years?
1.5.
1.5. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a daughter, huh? It's a girl.
Two
of them are girls.
Two girls.
Okay, so what is your question?
I just have a short question. Yes, Richard. Now my time is, how do I say? I don't really have much time to practice, or actually I do have time to practice, especially while I'm breastfeeding. Then I just sit and I don't have to really do anything, but I get distracted with the feeling.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice on how to use that time in a good way for meditation?
Yeah, I mean, see that you get distracted to the feeling and then go back to the breath, you know, or go back to the Buddha. Don't pay too much attention, you know, to the feeling itself. Oh, feeding or what? When you feed your baby or what?
The feeling of feeding. Yeah,
or the feeling of feeding.
So I feel that.
Yeah.
I get the feeling of feeding. I get distracted by it and then I try to go to the feeling, but.
It's
a bit stuck.
If you go to the feeling, then just stay with the feeling and don't make any comments about the feeling. Just like, you know, you do the Dukkha Vedana, you go to the painful feeling. Remember that? We just stay with the feeling and we ask some questions about it. And you do the same thing, yeah? With feeding, yeah? Okay?
Okay.
Ask questions, you know. How does it feel? Like, you know, I mean, there's certainly a lot of sensory input, yeah? Is it, is it pleasant something, you know, or is it unpleasant, you know? Where does it actually originate, you know? Yeah? Mm-hmm. But you have to leave out all the thoughts about it and all the labels, yeah? Just go directly into the feeling. How does it feel? Okay?
I'll try. Thank you.
So... Then we can close the session, Sani.
Any last questions, anyone?
This slide?
Yeah.
One more?
I think that's all.
What?
I think no more questions.
I have one no from more. The audience, yeah?
Yeah. No more questions.
Sitting meditation with the eyes closed.
What?
When we are doing sitting meditation with the eyes closed,
yeah.
Sometimes the mind starts dreaming.
Yeah.
And I'm awake, but if I keep like I am, I know that in 1 or 2 minutes I will be dreaming and fall asleep.
Yeah.
So what should I do?
You should look, you know, what came before you start to feel the dreaming. Huh? I mean, normally what is happening, you know, when we go to sleep, you know, the mind gets calm and that's why we fall asleep, yeah? So we have to be put before we go into meditation. I want to really know what is happening. Yeah? What gives rise to the feeling of or the dreaming or the tiredness and so on. Yeah? Yeah. I want to catch that point. And you know, I mean, the Kilesas tell us everything what they are going to do, but we never listen to them. Yeah. So now it's calm. Now I can go to sleep. But we don't see that thought. And then, with enough sati, we can see the thought and say, no, I want to stay awake.
But can I open the eyes?
No, you should not. Yeah, because that distracts, you know. But if you see that you're already dreaming, then open the eyes, you know. Okay, let's start from afresh, yeah. And then, you know, when you start from afresh, that I want to catch that point. When I go to sleeping or dreaming or, you know, falling asleep. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we have to start. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Okay. Let's start again. Let's start again. Yeah. Sooner or later, you know, we can stay on for a while. Yeah.
But in breath meditation, there's always the sense that I am controlling the breath.
Yes.
So it's like breathing is actually this natural process which is always going on, whether I'm focusing it on it or not.
Yeah.
And like the moment I focus on it, it just immediately seems like I'm the one who's like, you know, during
yes.
the in-breath and out-breath.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, that just seems like there's something off about it. It's just puzzled me for
sure. Yes. And it will puzzle you for quite a while. So the moment you see that you try to control the breath, yeah, then tell yourself, relax. And then start again, yeah? It takes a long time. Because it's not only the breath that we try to control. Whatever we are aware of, we try to control the situation. So it's a habit, yeah? It's not only the breath, you know, the situation around us, you know, we try to control it, yeah? So you see it now, yeah? I mean, it takes some time, yeah? Be patient, yeah? And each time you see that you start, that's what I told myself, yeah? Controlling, you know, relax, yeah? And then let it naturally happen, yeah? Because when I'm walking normally, you know, I mean, the breath goes naturally, yeah? But of course I concentrate on, and then I want to control it, to make it in a certain way that I think is proper. No. And I told myself, okay, let it flow, okay? Okay, start again, look at it, yeah. And after a while, you know, it becomes easier, you less and less control. And this also, you know, this also will, you know, apply to situations in everyday situations, yeah. You try not to control so much, yeah. You just let things happen, yeah. Okay?
Does this kind of intention to control have something to do with, like, our ignorance of anatta?
Learn of what?
Does this have something like our intention to control the breath as soon as we are aware of it? Does this have something to do with our ignorance of anatta, of not self?
Forget about, at the moment, forget about anatta, yeah, and forget about ignorance, just try, you know, simple things, yeah. We will get, sooner or later, we will get to the state, you know, yeah. I mean, when feelings come, you know, we can use the principle of anatta, yeah, to see, you know, I mean, there's a feeling, who knows there's a feeling, yeah. The one who knows there's a feeling and the feeling itself are two different things. That's the principle of anatta. So we use the principle of anatta or the principle of dukkha, yeah? Okay? So, okay, that's any. That's it, you know? We close down, yeah?
Yeah.
When you're coming back to Thailand.
Yeah, that's it. Next weekend I'll be coming back to Thailand.
When?
Then that's the last trip.
Next, or?
On the sixth.
Of
yeah,
March.
On the 6th, I think.
Where are you going to?
6th March.
You're going?
Oh, no, 5th March.
Where were you going to?
Yeah, I'm going to Bangkok, Chantaburi, Longpo Bunsong.
Oh, okay.
The post opening.
Okay,
on
okay.
5th to 8th March, yeah. That's the last trip planned for now. No more.
Okay, you have to work sometimes, you know, to get the money for your airfares, yeah. Okay, so.
Thank you, Lumpur.
Yeah, you're welcome.
See you next session. Yeah.
So, then we close the session? Yeah.